I don't understand it. The last time we saw Palmer, he was on his way to Eastbourne with Mary Desmond.
Well, that's nothing to go by, Steve. He could be here in a matter of hours. Any case, I'm not at all sure our friend was referring to the Palmer we know.
Oh, Paul, it's too big a coincidence. It must be Terry Palmer.
Well, whether it is or not, we've got to watch our step.
Why? Aren't you going to keep that appointment?
Of course I'm going to keep it, but I'm not so sure about you.
Now, what do you mean by that?
Well, this is Paris, remember, not London.
Exactly.
And what does that mean?
It means I can't think of a better reason for not letting you out of my sight.
That's all very well, Steve, but this can be a very tough city. You don't know what we might bump into tonight.
But whatever it is, I'm right behind you. So cut out the heroics, darling, and let's get down to facts. What do you think will happen tonight?
I don't know. Let's go back to the hotel and talk about it over a drink.
Ah, there's a sensible suggestion.
Ah, here's a taxi.
Taxi! You want a cab?
Yes. Take us to the Hotel Crillon.
Okay, jump in.
Well, how much is it?
Well, it says 200 francs on the meter, but who cares about the meter anyway?
There you are.
Why, thanks.
You're American, aren't you?
That's right. Luke's the name.
Oh.
Well, don't look so surprised, bud. I'm not the only American in Paris.
I bet you're the only one driving a cab.
You've got something there, lady.
How did this happen?
How did I get stuck with this chariot?
Yes.
Well, it's a long story, brother. Way back in 44, I received a pressing invitation from a guy called Adolf Hitler.
Uh-huh.
Hitler was a pushover, but there was a gal called Louise.
Oh?
There was no meter on that baby, but she certainly took me for a ride. Say, how long are you staying over here?
Oh, 2 or 3 days, maybe.
Well, you can always pick me up around the corner. I park near the Madeleine. I'd like to take you around sometime.
Yes, all right. Oh, by the way, where's the Boulevard Seminaire?
Seminaire? That's near the Place de l'Etoile. Quite a step from here.
Well, we've got a date there tonight at 11 o'clock. Do you think you could pick us up?
Sure. I'll be here at the hotel about 10:45, okay?
Fine.
Be good. Listen, who's...
Could I have my key, please? Room 109.
Oh, certainly, monsieur.
Thanks.
Oh, Mr. Temple.
Yes?
There is a gentleman would like to see you, sir. He is waiting for you upstairs, room 604.
To see me?
Yes, sir. Oh, there he is. Paul, look who's here. Sir Graham.
Hello, you two.
Hello, Sir Graham. Hello. What are you doing in Paris?
I'll give you 3 guesses, Steve, and don't mention the Folies Bergères.
I'm going to.
I'm in rather a hurry, Temple. I've got a luncheon appointment. But I want to talk to you. Let's go up to my room.
Yes, all right, Sir Graham.
It'll be quieter up there.
When did you get here, Sir Graham?
I flew over last night, Steve. I arrived about 12:30.
Then it said, 29 Boulevard Seminaire, ask for Mr. Palmer.
Palmer?
Whether he meant Terry Palmer or not, we don't know. We should probably know tonight. Well, that's our story up to date, Sir Graham. Now, what about yours?
Well, after you left London, Shelley came along to the yard with that note.
The one it was supposed to have received from Miss Millicent?
Oh, he received it from her, all right. Or at any rate, she wrote it. We checked the handwriting.
Mm.
As soon as we knew that the note was genuine, we got to work. Well, to cut a long story short, Temple, the man that impersonated Digby was the man the note mentioned, Henry DeWolf.
I see. Has DeWolf a police record?
As far as we are concerned, no. But because of the receipt he found on him, Eden decided to get in touch with the Sûreté. And we had a detailed report on DeWolf within an hour.
Go on.
It appears that at one time he was a prominent member of a drug gang. He left France in 46 and was last heard of in Boston in May 47. Since then, both the Sûreté and the FBI have lost track of him.
And then suddenly, quite out of the blue, he turns up at Marlow.
Yes, exactly.
Sir Graham, are you suggesting that DeWolf and Miss Millicent and possibly Shelley are all in this?
I'm not suggesting anything, Steve. I'm simply giving you the facts. I do know that heroin is getting into the illicit market from a new source.
Oh.
Whether that source is controlled by Shelley or Palmer or even Miss Millicent, well, I wouldn't like to say.
But you're convinced that the disappearance of Miss Millicent and the kidnapping of the Desmond baby are tied up with the murder of the wolf?
Yes, I am.
I agree.
Well, tell me, did you examine the note that Miss Millicent sent to Shelley?
There's nothing we can't tell you about that note, Steve. The sort of paper it was written on, the kind of ink that it was used, and even the type of pen that it was written with.
But can you tell when it was written?
Yes. About 24 hours before Shelley received it.
Hmm. So unless something's happened to Miss Millicent during the past day or so, she's still alive.
Yes.
You seem surprised, Steve.
I am surprised. I don't think she did write that note. I don't think she's alive.
Well, supposing she isn't alive. Supposing someone forged that note.
Shelley himself, for instance.
All right, Shelley himself. What's the point?
Well, what's the point if the note wasn't forged? Now, why should Miss Millicent want to warn Shelley? And what is she warning him against?
Well, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? You saw what happened to Queen Edward. You saw what happened to the wolf.
Yes.
In other words, the note simply said, keep your mouth shut, Mr. Shelley, or it's your turn next.
Precisely, Sir Graham.
Well, take the suspects in this affair. Terry Palmer, Roger Shelley, Mary Desmond, Bill McCall, and Drostick. Can you imagine any of those people taking orders from a middle-aged spinster like Miss Millicent? It doesn't make sense.
Well, what's your opinion of all this, Steve?
I tell you, Sir Graham, I think you're right about the wolf being mixed up with the disappearance of Miss Millicent.
Mm-hmm.
I think that she probably got caught up, quite innocently, with a drug smuggling ring, and they either had to get rid of her or kidnap her.
And Mr. Van Dyke, how does he fit into the picture?
Van Dyke is a leader, and the leader, in my opinion, is our dear friend Roger Shelley.
Well, then, how do you account for the disappearance of the doll and the fact that it was left in the attaché case of the Commodore Club?
Oh, well,
And how did Queenie Edwards know it was at the Commodore? And why did she send me the cloakroom ticket?
Well, I don't know why.
Yeah, you're not the only one who doesn't know, Steve.
No.
Well, I suppose I'd better be making a move.
Won't you join us for lunch, Sir Graham?
Unfortunately, I can't, my dear. I'm lunching with Pierre Charbonneau.
Charbonneau? Mm. Isn't he the ballistics expert?
He was. He's now attached to the Sûreté Nationale. We've known one another for years.
I suppose you have to tell him what happened this morning.
I'm afraid so, Temple. Don't worry. He won't interfere. He'll let you play it your own way.
Well, we shall see.
Yes, what is it?
Oh, pardon, monsieur, but this table has just arrived for you.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, please.
Excuse me. It's from the yard, in code. Good Lord.
What's wrong?
They've found Miss Millicent.
Mm-hmm.
They picked her body out of the Thames at 4 o'clock this morning.
Where?
About 2 miles from Marlowe.
How long had she been dead? Do they know?
Yes. At least a week.
Then you were right, Steve.
Yes.
She couldn't have sent that note to Roger Shelley.
What time is it?
2:15. Oh, that was a very nice lunch.
Yes, yeah, lovely.
What would you like to do now?
Don't really know. I ought to do some shopping, but I don't feel very much like it.
Oh, well, why not leave it till tomorrow? I think the best thing we can do is go back to the hotel and have a rest for an hour or so.
Yes, all right.
Well, I'm blown. Look who's here.
Oh, Bill McCall.
Yes, not only McCall. Look who he's with.
Who?
Philip Drostick, of all people.
What's that?
Oh, they spotted us, Steve. They're coming over.
Why, hello, Mr. Temple, my dear fellow. This is an unexpected pleasure.
Hello, Drosty. I didn't expect to see you in Paris.
It only goes to show it's a small world, old man. Oh, forgive me if I'm interrupting a tête-à-tête, eh?
This is my wife. Steve, this is Mr. Drosty.
How do you do?
Oh, I think you'll know, McCall, dear.
Oh, yes, of course.
Why, surely, we met in Marlowe.
I'm delighted to meet you, Mrs. Temple. What a pleasant surprise. Are you staying in Paris for long?
Just for 2 or 3 days.
Where are you staying, Temple?
We're at the Crillon. And you?
Well, we only got in this morning. Had a pretty rough trip. I don't know about you, Mr. Drossy, but things are still moving around.
You want something to eat, my friend. That's your trouble. I told you, never start a journey on an empty stomach.
Is Mrs. Drossy with you?
No. This is purely a business trip, old man. McCall's been having a little trouble with our wine merchant, or rather with the shippers, and I thought it was time I came over myself to straighten things out.
The iron hand in the velvet glove.
Yes, we ought to have had it a long time ago. Well, if you'll excuse me, Goodbye, Mrs. Temple. I do hope we shall meet again sometime.
Goodbye.
You must tell your husband to bring you along to the flat one evening. I'm sure that Vanessa, that's my wife, would be very pleased to meet you.
Thank you.
How is Mrs. Drosty? Did she recover from her journey?
Oh, yes, yes. She's much better now, thank you. Much better.
Well, have yourselves a good time.
Thanks.
Goodbye, Mrs. Temple. It has been so nice to meet you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Drosty.
Goodbye, old man.
Goodbye.
I wouldn't trust that man an inch.
Trust him?
Yes. I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him. Why are you laughing?
Oh, nothing.
Of course, what are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at what you said.
And about not trusting Drosty?
Yes.
Well, that's the lack of humor on my part. I don't think it's as funny as all that.
It wasn't, in there. I think it wasn't. It was very funny. Come on. Let's go back to the hotel. Could I have my key, please?
Oh, but certainly, monsieur. Oh, there is a note for you, Mr. Temple. It is from your friend, the gentleman in 604.
Oh, thank you.
What is it for?
It's from Sir Graham. He wants us to meet him at 6 o'clock.
Where? Here?
No, it says Café Benoit. Now, where is that? Excuse me.
Monsieur?
Do you know the Café Benoit?
Oh, but yes, monsieur. It is on the corner of the Rue Figaro and the Rue Fontaine. You cannot mistake it, monsieur. It is right on the corner.
Oh, thank you. Oh, come along, dear. Let's go to our room and have a rest first. This is it, Steve.
Well, it doesn't say Café Benoit. Oh, yes. Yes, it does.
I say, you look fagged out.
You don't look any too fresh yourself.
No, we should have taken a taxi.
That's all a helicopter, isn't it? I thought we'd never get across.
Look, let's sit down here. Mm. Oh, dear, it's 6:15. We're late.
I don't see any sign of Sir Graham.
No, neither do I. You stay here, dear. I'll have a look inside.
All right.
Vous désirez, madame?
Oh, Delphine, alors.
Bon, merci, okay. Madame.
Papers? Daily papers? London papers?
Papers, madame?
No, thank you.
They are London papers. Or the latest news?
No, thank you.
Evening news?
No.
Star?
No.
Standard?
No, thank you.
Oh. Postcards? You like to buy some pretty postcards?
Oh, really?
To an iPhone?
I have seen it. Thank you very much.
London papers? Evening news? Star? Standard?
All right, I give in.
Merci, madame. Merci beaucoup. Where's the waiter?
He's inside.
I will leave my newspapers on this table here. Please tell him I will be back in one moment.
Very well. Curious and curious.
What did that fellow want?
He was selling papers and pretty postcards.
Mm, he seems to have dumped his papers on the next table.
Yes, he'll be back in a moment. We do meet some crazy people over here. Did you see Sir Graham?
No, they're not inside.
Oh, they obviously haven't arrived yet. I've ordered you a drink.
Thanks.
Oh, I like this place, Paul, don't you?
Certainly attractive. A bit too near the curb for my liking.
Oh, I adore these open-air cafes. Mm. Oh, she'll know you again, won't she?
Who?
That woman over there in the corner. Couldn't take her eyes off you.
It's only natural. You don't see many good-looking men in Paris.
Oh, get used. Looks to me as if she knows you.
Which woman do you mean, Steve?
There, look, in the red dress.
Where? Oh! By Timothy, she does know me.
Allo, allo, allo. What's been going on? Think fast, Mr. Tree.
Do you know who she is?
No, but I'll admit she's very good looking.
It's Mrs. Drosty.
What? Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
But Drosty said she wasn't in Paris. He said...
I know what Drosty said, but that's his wife, or I'm a Dutchman.
What are you going to do, Paul?
Wait here, Steve. Hello, Mrs. Drosty. How nice to see you again.
I beg your pardon?
I saw you looking at me. I couldn't place you at first. It is Mrs. Drosty, isn't it? I'm Paul Temple, don't you remember?
Oh, yes. Now I remember. I knew I'd seen you somewhere before.
Are you alone?
Yes, but I'm expecting someone.
Well, look here. I've got my wife with me. Why don't you join us until your friends turn up?
I'd rather not, if you don't mind.
Of course. Oh, by the way, I saw your husband this morning.
Where?
We were having lunch and he came in with Mr. McCall.
You mean you saw him here, in Paris?
Yes.
But I can't believe it. Oh, you're joking. It is just a joke,
No, I spoke to him. He told me he was over here on business.
But my husband's not in Paris. I'm sure he's not. Unless...
Come along, Mrs. Dosty. Come and have a drink with us.
Steve,
this is Mrs. Dosty.
Oh, how do you do, Mrs. Dosty?
How do you do?
Won't you sit down?
Thank you.
I was just telling Mrs. Dosty we saw her husband this morning with Bill McCall.
Oh, yes.
How long has he worked for your husband?
Oh, quite a while now.
We met him down at Marlow. He seems to be a very amiable sort of person.
Yes, I think he is.
What would you like to drink?
May I have an absinthe?
Yes, of course. Garçon?
The dream, monsieur.
Mr. Temple.
Yes?
I wonder if you'd do me a favor.
Well, if I can.
If by any chance you see my husband again in Paris, I mean, please don't mention that you've seen me. You see...
Yes?
I've a friend here in Paris. We've been seeing a lot of each other just recently, and my husband...
Is this friend a woman?
No. I don't want to bore you with a lot of personal details, but... Well, Philip and I haven't been hitting it off too well lately. We've been getting on each other's nerves so much that I suggested that we separate it for a little while.
I see. A friend of yours, Mrs. Dosty, what's his name?
I'm sorry, I'd rather not tell you if you don't mind.
Isn't Marley by any chance? Charles Marley?
Oh, I know.
Well, don't look so surprised. You know Marley. He owns a shop in the Rue Saint-Lazare, the little place where you bought your gloves.
I've never heard of anyone called Marley. I don't know what you're talking about.
Now, come, Mrs. Dosty. You know perfectly well what I'm talking about.
Merci, monsieur.
Oh, thanks. Bring an absinthe, please.
Absinthe, certainement, monsieur. Oh, are those your papers?
No, of course they're not.
Well, who put them there?
A man left them. He said he'd be back in a few moments.
Oh, but he can't leave his newspapers like that on one of our tables.
What do you mean he can't? He has.
Well, I'll take them inside.
Just a moment. Did he just put them down there, Steve, on that table?
Yes, you saw him, Paul. It was the man I told you about. The man with the postcard. It's
very odd. He should leave a bunch of newspapers. Don't touch them.
I'll take them inside.
Don't touch them.
Oh, but we shall leave the table, monsieur.
Put them down, you fool! Hold our head quickly.
Give me your handkerchief.
Here you are, dear. You all right?
Yes,
she's in a pretty bad way, Steve.
Garçon, get a doctor,
quickly.
What happened? Did the papers say so deliberately?
Yes, there was a catch bomb underneath. The moment the papers were moved, the bomb exploded. Here's the doctor. Monsieur, madame is very, very badly hurt.
What time is it now?
Time for making a move. I expect our American friend's waiting for us with his taxi.
Don't let's go, Paul, until we've heard from Sir Graham.
All right, but, you know, he promised to phone through at 9 o'clock. It's now 9:45.
Yes. Paul.
Yes?
I'm sure I'd recognize that man again. The man who planted the bomb, I mean.
You probably would if you saw him looking exactly the same, but would you recognize him if he was washed and shaved and all spruced up? That's the point.
I think so.
Was he a Frenchman?
No, I don't think he was. He spoke English with an accent, but it seemed to me more German or possibly Swiss.
Have you stopped to think what really happened this evening, Steve? Someone sent us a note, which was supposed to be from Sir Graham, and made a date for us at the Café Benoit. Now, it's my bet that whoever sent that note also sent one to Mrs. Dosty.
In other words, they intended to kill 3 birds with 1 stone.
Exactly. Now, if we can find out from Mrs. Dosty who she expected to see at the café, then we might get somewhere.
I'll be the phone now.
Hello?
Is that you, Temple?
Yes, Sir Graham, where are you?
We're still at the hospital. I'm sorry I'm late phoning, but things have been pretty hectic.
How's Mrs. Dosty?
Still unconscious. They don't think there's much hope, but we're holding on just in case.
What about Dosty himself? Have you found him yet?
No. Goodness knows where he's staying. We've contacted all the big hotels and most of the travel agencies. But we'll find him. We've got to find him.
When should we see you?
Well, it depends entirely on Mrs. Dosty.
Yes, of course.
Well... Take care of yourselves.
We'll try. Goodbye, Sir Graham.
Goodbye, Temple.
Come on, Steve, let's go down. We're terribly late. And Luke's been waiting with that taxi.
Here we are. This is it. 29 Boulevard Seminaire.
Mm. Nice looking block.
Yes.
Cost you a lot of dough to live in a place like this.
How much do you want?
How much have you got?
Look here. Would you like to wait for us? I don't expect we should be very long.
Sure.
We're going up to the second floor. If we're not down in 20 minutes, come up and fetch us.
Okay, I'll do that. Oh, Mrs. Temple.
Yes?
You've left your handbag.
Oh, thank you.
By the way, how do you know I'm in?
Haven't you seen the evening paper?
No.
You should take a look at it.
What do you mean?
There's a photograph of your boat on the front page.
Is there?
It was taken outside of the Café Benoit.
Oh.
That must have been a very nasty accident.
Yes, except that it wasn't an accident.
No, you surprised me. Okay, 20 minutes?
That's right. Second floor.
Okay.
Is this it, Paul?
I suppose it must be. There's no other door.
There's no name.
No. Is there a bell?
Yes, there is. I don't see it.
No one at home.
Try again.
No.
I suppose it's locked.
Yes. Wait a minute.
What's that?
That's the phone ringing.
Well, there was obviously no one in.
No.
Oh. Now what are we going to do?
I'm going to try my keys.
You mean try and open the door?
Yes.
But Paul, you can't. Supposing somebody came along.
We have to take that chance. You stand on guard. Stand over there, Steve, near the lift.
All right.
If you see anyone, whistle Rule Britannia.
Well, it's going to make it say C'est bon.
I don't know, say C'est bon.
How's it going?
Not so good. See, here a minute. Hold the handle.
What for?
Do as I tell you.
Won't it work?
Well, this usually does the trick. It looks to me as if... Ah! Yes, that's done it. Good.
Can I close the door?
Yes, the phone's active.
Can you find the light?
Yes, I got it.
Oh. Oh, it's a lovely flat.
Yes, it certainly costs a pretty penny to furnish this place.
Hey, that's a pretty impressive fireplace for a hall.
Yeah, it is.
Surely that's a Matisse over there.
Hmm? Yeah, it looks very much like it.
I wonder where that door leads to.
Probably one of the bedrooms. You stay here, Steve.
Yes, all right. Paul, can I come in now?
No. Stay where you are.
Why? What is it? What's happened?
Steve, listen. Go down to the cab and tell the American...
Well, what's happened?
Steve, listen to what I'm saying. Go down to the taxi...
Oh, please, what has happened?
The man we saw this morning. The man in the glove shop. Charles Murray.
Yes?
He's been murdered. His face has been slashed with a razor.
Like Queenie Edward.
It looks awful.
Well, Paul, there's some blood on your sleeve.
Yes, I know. Now, Steve, I want you to go downstairs and...
Are you going to let it ring?
What?
Paul!
Wait a minute. Hello?
Patricia of the time?
I beg your pardon?
It was only Monsieur.
Oui, yes.
I said, are you Patty 4713?
Patty, just a moment. Yes, that's right. Patty 4713.
One moment, please.
Who is it? I don't know.
Hold the line, please.
Who is it?
Shh. Hello?
Hello? Patty 4713.
Yes?
Hold on a moment. Vous êtes en ligne, parlez plus fort, s'il vous plaît.
Hello?
Could a Mr. Paul Temple take a personal call from London, please?
What?
Oh, what is it?
But that's impossible. No one knows I'm here.
And vous entendez son ami, can a Mr. Paul Temple take a personal call from London, please?
Yes, speaking.
Is that Mr. Temple speaking personally?
Yes. Who is it? Who is it calling?
It's a Mr. Van Dyke. One moment, please.
Mm-hmm. You've been listening to the fourth episode of Paul Temple and the Van Dyke Affair, with Kim Peacock as Paul and Marjorie Westbury as Steve. Sir Graham Forbes was played by Lester Muddett, Charles Murray by Raph de la Tour, Philip Droste, Roger Delgado, Bill McCall by Tommy Duggan, Vanessa Droste, Griselda Harvey, Luke by Charles Richardson. Other parts by Betty Bascom, Olaf Olsen, David Peel, and Gladys Spencer. The production was by Martin C. Webster.